He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like
Hello, this is Bob Main. I am your host of today's survival show, where we help you harness the power of choice to live the life that you want and to strengthen your resolve. We make self-sufficiency simple, not extreme. Thank you for tuning in. If you are a first-time listener to this show, I want to thank you and welcome you and let you know you have tuned in to a voice of reason in a chaotic world. This is practical stuff that we talk about here. You're not going to find a lot of conspiracy theories. You're not going to find a lot of extremism. We just keep it simple. What we do is we help you thrive today so that you can survive tomorrow. And what I'm talking about is how to improve your life, how to make it better today. And even if things don't go wrong, you are still in a better position today by employing some of the techniques that we talk about in this show. And if something does go wrong, then you can respond from a position of strength. So thanks again for listening. This is episode number 34. And it's amazing that we're on 34 already. But because of you, the listener, and the listener count continues to grow, I just keep doing my best to be kind of like a huge conduit of information. And that's my goal with this show. And having said that, the main topics, there are two of them that I want to cover today. The first one is I want to finish up where I left off on the last podcast with survival goals and ways that you can set goals in your life and how to do it. There's a specific way that successful people set goals, and there's a method to their madness, and there's a method to what they do when they set them, and that's what we're going to talk about. We'll finish up a little bit about that, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about philosophy, and the philosophy and the thinking of successful people. They have a certain value system, so forth, and I don't want to get into giving a sermon here on value. That's not what we're going to talk about. Not going to get into that. But there is a certain philosophy that successful people embrace. I guess that's how I want to put it. And a lot of it has changed my life. And when I was 25 years old, I started learning some things that literally transformed my life. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. Those are the two major concepts. A couple of announcements that I want to get out of the way before we do that. I want to talk about our forum, as I do on almost every podcast, because I'm proud of it, and we have a lot of good people on there. There's an old saying that that small minds talk about the things that they possess. Average minds talk about the people in their lives, and great minds talk about ideas and concepts to live a better life. And that's what our forum does. So if you haven't joined, go to todayssurvival.com and click the forum tab, and it'll take you right where you need to go. Excellent members there that want to share with you what they're doing to improve themselves, and it's a great learning experience. Even if you don't sign up, take a look at it. Also, want to talk about our SAC contest. Become a Today's Survival SAC member, SAC, Survival Activists Club. I will let you figure it out. There is a posting on the blog about the SAC Club, and there's also a posting on the forum about the SAC Club. Become a member of that. I got a good prize to give away on the 20th of December for that. And I might even have one of our forum members, knivesandgear.com. He's considering sweetening the pot a little bit as to what we're going to give away on December 20th. So get active. Whatever your viewpoint is, doesn't matter. Just speak out. Let your voice be heard, especially with your elected officials. Not just the federal, but the local, state, county government officials. Let them know how you stand. That is part of living a successful life. Trust me, what these pinheads do affects you, and if you don't speak out, they're just going to keep doing some of the dumb stuff that they do. That's a whole show by itself, isn't it? Won't get too much into that, but become a member of our SAC Club. And the other announcement that I want to make is, if you feel that you got a benefit from the other 33 podcasts that I did, or even this episode, if you feel like it's in your heart to give a little donation to the Today's Survival Show, I would appreciate that. I don't make money doing this, and I really don't intend to make money doing this. This is just kind of a way for me to give back. But there are some small costs involved in not only this blog, but doing the podcast and running the forum. One of the things I want to say is, if you feel like you want to contribute to the show, please do not go into debt. Don't put it on a credit card. Don't go into debt, because I'm a big believer in staying out of debt. But if you have a little bit that you can donate, even if it's a modest amount, that's okay by me, and I greatly thank you. If it's in your heart, there's a donate button on the main page at Today's Survival Show where you can do that. That's all I'm going to say about that. Not going to get into a whole lot of that too much. So let's dive in to the main topic. In the last show, I talked about the specific way, the smart way of setting goals. And we talked about making them specific. That's the S in SMART. Making specific goals, clearly defining them. The M is measurable. And I talked a little bit about how to set measurable goals. The A is attainable. Got to keep your goals attainable. One of the detrimental things that a lot of people do when they set goals, they have good intentions, but they set them too high, and they're unattainable. It's very important to think big. I'm not saying don't think big. I mean, because that's what causes your heart and gets you excited about what you're doing. But it's also important to make sure that they're attainable. So what does it mean? What am I talking about when I say make your goals attainable? An attainable goal is one that's both realistic, but also is attainable in a shorter period of time than what you have to work with. Example, let's say you have a goal that you want to achieve, and you think it's going to take you 90 days. Okay, set a smaller goal that you can achieve in 45 days. Or try to achieve that attainable goal. Maybe you have to shrink your goal a little bit. Maybe you have to make it a little bit smaller so that you can achieve it in 45 and leave yourself that extra 45-day cushion so that you really get it done in 90 days. In other words, here's another example. Don't set a goal to have 3 months' worth of food packed away and try to do it all in about 2 weeks. Because chances are, if you're doing it smart, if you're storing the types of things you eat, and then, of course, eating what you store, if you're making that list that I talked about, it's probably going to take you more than 2 weeks to put that away. It's a good goal to have 90 days worth of food stored. That's excellent. That's a good thing to do. But you may not get it done in 2 weeks. And if you set that unattainable goal, you're going to get frustrated. And after 2 weeks, you're going to quit. You know, don't set a goal of having 1,000 rounds of ammunition of every caliber that you own and have it all and gather it all within 3 weeks. Your budget may not be set up for that. Don't set a goal of having a fully packed bug-out bag or a fully packed emergency bag, you know, complete with 72 hours of sustainability in 1 week. You might not get that put together in 1 week. So don't get unrealistic with it. Slowly but surely, make them attainable. All right, and then realistic. Realistic and attainable kind of go together, but let's not forget, the root word of realistic is real. And a good goal has to be something that is reasonable and based on the reality in our lives and at that point. And there are some goals that simply are not realistic. You have to be able to say to yourself, even if it's a tremendously big goal that you have to stretch to get to, still needs to be realistic. The first thing that comes to mind when I talk about this is weight loss. Often a lot of people set very unrealistic goals for losing weight. And here's the problem. You know, let's say they want to lose 30 pounds. And, you know, if they haven't lost 10 pounds in 6 days, they get frustrated. Not realistic. It's very realistic to lose 30 pounds. I did it. I lost more than that. I lost approximately 36 pounds, but it took me a year and a half. All right, that's more realistic. Can you do it in less than a year and a half? Sure. All right, but after 6 days, you jump on the scale, you're not 10 pounds lighter. Don't worry about it. In fact, most doctors would say that losing about 5 to 10% of your starting weight is realistic. Okay, 5 to 10% of your starting weight. So if you're 200 pounds right now, that pretty much losing 10 to 20 pounds is realistic. All right, not losing 70 pounds. Now, are there stories of people out there that have done it? Sure. But I'm just saying, start with something more realistic, like 10 or 12 pounds first. And then once you've hit that, then another 10 or 12 pounds. Give yourself the time. You know, a pound or two every week is a good, healthy way to do it. So that's pretty much kind of what I mean by realistic. And the last thing to remember, the T in SMART, is time sensitive. Make your goals time sensitive, meaning put a finite period of time to it. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to have to readjust that. You might. And again, let's use the weight loss example. If you say, all right, within 3 weeks, I want to lose 6 pounds. That's 2 pounds a week. That's realistic. You know, make sure you put that 3 week time frame on it. Jump on the scale every day. Take a look. Measure your progress. That's the measurable. That's an attainable goal. That's very realistic. Make sure you have the time frame on there. And don't be too discouraged if you don't hit the time frame. You can always adjust that. You can tweak it. But the thing is, the key is, you're making a roadmap. So remember that, SMART goal setting, S, specific, M, measurable, A, something that's attainable, and R, that's realistic. All right, don't get too extreme, and then T, time sensitive. If you remember those five principles, and one thing I haven't covered is there should be a W in there someplace written. Write them down. Even if you get on your computer, you get on Microsoft Word, and you type them all up, and you save it as a file, and check back with it once in a while, you got to write them down. Writing down your goal is like making a contract with yourself. You hold yourself accountable to it, and folks, it really, really works. I promise you, make that contract, make that agreement with yourself. In fact, you can even label it. You know, I sit down and I say, this is my agreement with Bob Main, and this is what I am going to do, and this is what he is going to do, and I make that contract with myself. It's binding. Psychological, but it works. Okay? So, enough on goal setting. Let's move to the next topic that I wanted to talk about, and that's your philosophy of success. My mentor, when I was about 25 years old, started working with me, and I was broke, and I was destitute, and I was pretty much a miserable failure when I was 25. Had a college education, really didn't know what I was doing, and folks, it's not much worse than being broke, right? Well, maybe being stupid. Stupid's worse. You know, or broke and stupid, right? That was me. I was broke. I guess I can't think of a better word. I was just stupid. I didn't know what to do. And I was just a fledgling kid at 25 years old. And I met my mentor, and it was a life-changing experience. And he said, Bob, we got to work on your philosophy first. And I said, what do I know? I'm just a farm boy from Wisconsin. I don't know what to do. I mean, you know, I just grew up in the country, a country kid, small town school, a small town in Wisconsin. I got myself a college education at a small town in Wisconsin. What do I know? I'm just a farm kid. He said, don't worry. He says, I think you have an attitude. I think you have a good positive attitude. I think there's something there that I can work with. And he started teaching me some concepts. And one of the things that he taught me were actually some concepts that my mom taught me, but I just, you know, I didn't want to listen to my mom when I was a kid, and when my mentor started teaching me stuff, it reminded me of what my mom taught me. And the first thing he taught me about is, he said, you know, first, Bob, you got to stay healthy. He said, good nutrition. He said, that's part of being successful, is just staying healthy. And I was a wreck. I was a partier, and wasn't keeping myself healthy, wasn't sleeping much, you know, doing too much, eating bad stuff. And I always remember my mom. She was a nutrition nut. You know, she'd say, hey, Bob, just drink this stuff, right? Just drink this. I made this up. Drink it. If it doesn't kill us, I think it'll help us. And the payoff was incredible. My mom was an organic-minded person. We kept an organic garden. She didn't believe in chemicals. She wanted us all to be healthy. And sure enough, you know, that's sticking with me. And when my mentor taught me about that, it reminded me of all the stuff my mom taught. And the payoff was incredible. Since then, I've always been a healthy-minded person, and I'm trying to pass that on to my son. And when you learn that, you will pass that on to your family members. So your personal philosophy, what you believe in, matters, and it kind of ties into the show I did on Nowhere Man. You can't be a nowhere man. You got to believe in something, okay? Good nutrition, staying healthy, and early philosophies that changed my life forever are some things that I want to share with you. And, you've heard me mention that I used to do public speaking for a living. I was 25 years old, got into the business of doing some public speaking. You wouldn't believe some of the very first speeches I gave. My God, I'll tell you what, if I wasn't given the speech, I'd have left the room. But I had to stay because I was the one talking. But, you know, I had people who used to take notes when I was giving those talks. And some of those people I met 20 years later, and they still had the notes. They still had the notes from my speeches. And they said, hey, Bob, would you autograph these notes? And it made me think, wow, you know what? You never know when you're going to have an impact on people's lives. And so, you know, my mentor started reminding me of some of those things. And the nutrition was one of them. Here's another early philosophy I want to share with you that I learned from my mentor. If you're taking notes, write this down. Profits are better than wages. Profits are better than wages. Once I understood that, once I understood profits are better than wages, that's what kind of lit a fire for me to start becoming successful. I went to college for 5 years, never heard that profits were better than wages. Okay? Here's what he taught me. He said, wages will make you a living. Profits make you a fortune. Wages make you a living. Profits make you a fortune, right? Capitalism. And regardless of what you might think, capitalism is still alive and well. There's people trying to attack it. No doubt about that. But it's alive and well. Communism has failed every time. Communism believes that wealth belongs in the hands of the state. Capitalism believes that wealth belongs in the hands of the people. Communism and socialism think that people are too dumb, too stupid to know what to do with wealth. All right? They want you to give it to the all-wise and all-knowing state. My mentor taught me that profits are the key. You know, communism's devastated every country it's touched, folks. That system just doesn't work. But think about it. What are you working for? Are you working for wages? Or are you trying to build profits? More on that later. A little bit later in the podcast, I'm going to tell you what I think profits are. Because when it pertains to self-sufficiency, there's lots of ways that we can profit from what we do in our preparations. And it's not just direct income profits. You know, saving money is a profit. All right, that's what builds wealth. So make sure that you understand that philosophy. And also don't forget about the definition of wealth. I talked about this in a previous show. Most of us in this country already are wealthy. We just don't know it. But wealth means, can you sustain yourself? Can you sustain yourself for a given period of time without any immediate income? And basically, I think your wealth is defined by how long can you sustain yourself? You know, for example, I've talked about having 6 months worth of expenses in a bank account. All right, well, there's a definition of wealth. And even if that amount is, $18,000. All right, let's say your bills are $3,000 a month. I'm just pulling that figure out of the air. Times six is $18,000. You are wealthy if you can do that. Do you realize the very small percentage of people that can go 6 months without a paycheck? If you can do that, you're wealthy. Of course, if you have food, water, shelter, and the basic necessities compared to a lot of people in this world, you are wealthy. Compared to a lot of the way people live in other parts of the world, you're wealthy. Here is the best definition I can give. It kind of sums it all up. Wealth is being able to take money and your basic needs off of your worry list. You don't have to worry about money and providing for your basic needs, food, water, shelter, heat, air conditioning, electricity, stuff like that. If you could take that off of your worry list, you're wealthy, and profits will help you get there. Now, in the next philosophy my mentor taught me, if you're writing this down, make a note. Work full-time on your job. Work part-time on your wealth building. When I understood the magic of part-time, I'm telling you, it made a huge difference. You know, and even in self-sufficiency, if you can say to people, well, you know, I'm working part-time, I'm becoming more self-sufficient. I'm working part-time, I'm being able to save $1,000 a month. All right, just put it to them that way. You know, if you've always wondered how do you get people interested in becoming more self-sufficient, talk about your part-time story. Your part-time story is a lot more interesting than most people's full-time story. If you put it to them this way, hey, you know what? I'm doing something part-time that's helping me save $1,000 a month. All right? Because maybe in your self-sufficiency preparations, by being more frugal, by growing your own food, by dehydrating, by canning, by doing all the things that we do to save money, by bartering, by smart shopping, by stocking up on things that are on sale, we might be saving $1,000 a month, even if it's $500 a month. You realize $1,000 a month can change people's lifestyle? It's huge. An extra $1,000 a month would probably change the lives of 85 to 95% of Americans out there. So talk about your part-time story. If you went up to somebody and said, hey, I'm working full-time, making $1,000 a month, would they be interested? No. But hey, you know, I'm doing something part-time, and I'm able to save myself $1,000 a month, and I'm able to start taking worry and basic necessities off of my worry list. That's something you might be interested in. That's a good way to talk to people. Right? Now, money's not everything, I understand, but it ranks right up there with oxygen. I mean, it's something we need. So talk about that part-time story. It's powerful. It gets people's attention. Wow. I wish they would have taught me this in high school and in college. They didn't. Okay, the next philosophy my mentor shared with me. If you're making notes, jot this down. It's not what happens that determines your success. It's what you do about what happens that determines your success. You know, life is 90%. Excuse me, life is 10% what happens to us, 90% how we react to it. And jot this down. The same wind that blows on us all, it does. We all pretty much face the same wind. It may come in different forms, but it's the same wind. Could be the winds of disaster, could be the winds of opportunity, could be the winds of change, could be the political wind. All right? We're all going to face it. The difference in how you arrive and where you go is not the blowing of the wind, it's the set of the sail. Think about that. It's how you set your sail. It's not the blowing of the wind. The first 5 years of my professional life were a disaster. Complete disaster. I'm thinking about the age of about 25 to 30. I didn't get out of college until, let's see, I was almost 24 years old by the time I got out of college. All right? I was on the six-year plan, and I graduated early. I was a failure as a student, folks. Took me a long time. I did get my college degree, But I had to go to summer school. I flunked out twice. I had to get back in. I had to repeat some courses. It was a chore for me, folks. I was a complete screw-up, I'm telling you. But I finally got the degree. But I tell you what, didn't go very well when I got out. And then I started learning some of these philosophies. And I started learning some of these principles of success. And the next 5 years after that, I turned things around. Complete difference. I went from being nothing to a six-figure income before I was 30. And not just about income, but I was learning principles of being successful in life as well. And you might say, well, what changed? You might say, oh, well, hey, the Democrats finally got in power, right? No, it was not a political wind that changed. It was the set of my sail that changed. It was changing my priorities and changing the way I looked at things and a totally different outlook on life. And anybody can do this, folks. And some folks go year after year not making a change, and that was me. And let me tell you, when you set that sail on the right course and set that sail the correct way, you'll be able to handle whatever wind comes along. And you know, let me put this, let me give you an example here. One time I was giving a talk and somebody asked me, you know, what did I think that the next 10 years were going to be like? And I think a lot of you might be thinking about that today. Oh, gee, what do you think? What are the next 10 years going to be like? I have an answer for you. I think the next 10 years are going to be very similar to the last 10 years. Now, seriously. Like I said, you know, some of the problems may come at us in different forms. But think about the last 10 years. We've been through a pretty tumultuous time, haven't we? It's going to continue. Again, it may come at us in different ways. But it's going to continue. So, you know, don't think that things change too much. Disasters happen. Good things happen. And they come in different forms and they happen in different ways. But it's the set of that sail that makes a big difference for us. And another philosophy that I was taught, if you're jotting down, make notes. For things to change, you have to change. And my mentor taught me things like, don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. Don't wish for less problems, wish for more skills. Don't wish for fewer challenges, wish for more wisdom. You can't fly without gravity, folks. So wish that you had better skills, wish that you had better ways to overcome. And that's what being a modern-day survivalist or a person who believes in self-sufficiency, that's what they're all about. You know, humans can do the most remarkable things no matter what happens when you set your mind to it. And here's what separates us from other creatures, folks. This is what separates us. We as humans, we have been created with the ability to think intelligently and to reason and to figure stuff out and to figure out problems and to not operate only on instinct, but be able to reason and decide on their own. This is why I believe that we are a created being, folks. I don't believe that garbage, that we're just some form of the animal kingdom. This is why I believe in intelligent design, that we are a created species, created by a higher power, because we have that innate ability to reason. And by using that ability to reason and analyze and figure stuff out, that's one of the principal philosophies of how we become successful. And the next thing that my mentor taught me, jot this down, understand, he said, Bob, understand the law of averages. And this applies a lot to our battle for self-sufficiency. Understand the laws of averages. If you do something often enough, a ratio starts to appear. You may not be successful at it the first time that you try, but the more times that you try it, a ratio of success starts to appear. You get better at it. Right? This is interesting. Because let's talk about statistics like this and how things start to play out. I want you to make another note to yourself. You can always make up in numbers what you might lack in skill. You can always make it up in numbers what you might lack in the ability to do something. I'll give you an example. All right, so let's use baseball players for a second. All right, professional baseball players. If they bat 300, right? If a professional baseball player's average is 300, it means that he's successful. It means he gets a hit 3 times out of every 10. If you hit 300, you make $6 million a year in baseball. How about that? Right? You know what that means? That also means that 7 times he's out. 7 times out of 10, he's out. How do you like that? 7 times out of 10, you're out. Make $6 million a year. Isn't that great? It's awesome. Here's where I'm going with this. All you got to do is be successful 3 times out of 10, no matter what you try. You want to learn a skill? All right, you might try 10 times before you can get it right. Maybe it only takes you. Maybe on the 3rd time that you try, you get it right. Maybe on the 6th time. An average is going to start to appear. And 3 times out of 10, 30% success ratio, believe me, that's a good success ratio. Baseball players can make $6 million, $7 million, $8 million bucks a year. Succeeding 3 times out of 10, we can be successful in our lives succeeding 3 times out of 10. Remember, you don't have to bat 1,000. Now, the next principle that my mentor taught me. This was a big one. This is one that changed my life forever when I was young. Something I went to college for, didn't learn. It's nothing I ever learned in high school. Nobody ever taught me this. If you're making notes, jot this down. He said, Bob, learn the law of sowing and reaping. He said, learn the story of the sower. All right, it comes from the Bible. I'm an amateur on the Bible, folks. But it's a useful story that I want to share with you. He said, learn the story of the sower. The story says, first of all, the sower was ambitious. The sower had a goal. The sower didn't want to quit. And the other principle is he had excellent seed. For those of you who grow gardens, you know what it means to have excellent seed. So as the story goes, the sower goes out to sow the seed. The first part of the seed goes by the wayside, and the birds get some of it. If you're taking notes, write that down. The birds got some of the seed. Here's what I'm talking about. You ever talk to somebody about becoming more self-sufficient? You want to turn them on to the concept of it? And they say, oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm going to do that. That's a good idea. Yeah, putting away some food, that's good. They listen to you. You check back with them a month later. Hey, John, how's your food storage going? Oh, well, I don't have any put away yet. And you start to wonder. And then you can remember this. The birds! It was the birds! The birds got some of the seeds. That's just the way it is. The sower started sowing some of the seeds. The birds came and took some. There's nothing you can do. So I want you to learn to say, isn't that interesting? He was going to do it, but he didn't. The birds got some of it. Now, there's two options that you can take. My mentor said, hey, there's two things you can choose to do when the birds get some. You can chase the birds if you want, but that's not going to be very efficient. It's not going to do you very, and it's not going to be a smart thing to do. The problem with chasing the birds is you leave the field. So choice number two, stay in the field. The birds get something. Just say, That's interesting. That's just the way it is. The next part of the story of the sower. The sower kept on going. He kept on sowing. And he didn't quit. And my mentor taught me. He said, Bob, he says, you know, there's really only about 9 or 10 really nasty, really miserable people in the world. You know, they move around a lot. But he said, there's really not that many. And the point that he was trying to make is most of the people that you bump into are good people. It just seems like we meet a lot of the nasty ones because those are the ones that stick most in our mind. But don't leave the field like the sower did. And the next part of the story of the sower. The story says, well, now the seeds fall on rocky ground. And that rocky ground was shallow, and the soil was shallow. But you have to remember that that rocky ground is not of your making. It's just the way it is. But sometimes the seeds that we plant, they fall on rocky ground. And this time, that little plant started to grow. But the first hot day, the plant withers and dies. And it's kind of like when you finally get someone started on self-sufficiency. And a few days later, somebody comes by and says, "Boo! Oh, you're not into that survival stuff, are you?" And that little plant that they started growing withers and dies. And guess what? The hot weather got to them, and it's going to get some. And again, all I want you to do when that happens is say, isn't that interesting? Some do it. Some don't. Some will. Some won't. So what? Just know what category to put them in, and you can put them into the some just don't do it category because the hot weather got to them. Now, the story of the sower continues, and it said the sower just kept on going, and he had to discipline his disappointment. But write this down. The next part of the story, the seeds fall on thorny ground. The little plant starts to grow again, but the thorns choke it to death, and it dies. The thorns get some. And that's another phenomenon, is that's just the way it is. You know, and you're going to ask your friend, "Hey, how are your preparations going?" And he's going to give you an excuse. I just got kind of a little bit too busy. I had this happen. I had something happen to my house. I had to fix it. You know, you just can't let your house go. You got to fix things. And all of a sudden, the long list of excuses start. Well, you know, hey, the thorns are going to get some of the seed. Just say, well, put them in the category of the thorns get some. But the sower, the story of the sower continues, and here's the good news. The sower kept on sowing the seed, and finally the seed falls on good ground. And then the plant flourishes. Now make a note. If you keep sowing the seed, it will always find, eventually, some good ground. If you keep sowing, if you keep sharing, if you keep extending the invitation long enough, it will fall on good people. And it's just like your survival preparations. The more you do it, the more seeds you keep on sowing, some of them are going to hit good ground, and some of them are going to flourish. The thorns are going to get some. The rocky ground are going to get some. The hot weather is going to get some. But some are going to fall on good ground. And here's the rest of the story of the sower. In some of the good ground, some of the seeds, about 30% of them did well. In other parts of the good ground, 60% of them did well. And in other parts of the good ground, 100% of them did well. And you ask yourself, why? Folks, I wouldn't bother trying to figure that out. Doesn't matter why, that's just the way it is. So remember the law of 30, 60, and 100. 30% of your good ground seeds are going to flourish in some parts of your good ground. 60% are going to flourish in other areas. In some areas, you're going to have everything flourish. Here's my advice to you. Just let the 30 do their 30. Let the 60 do the 60, and let the 100 do the 100, and don't try to figure it out. You will drive yourself batty trying to figure this stuff out. Just keep sowing seeds. And of course, we all know that story. The more you sow, the more you reap, and you will reap whatever you sow. So just remember that. That simple little philosophy. There's more. There's more that my mentor taught me. There's about seven other tidbits of philosophy that he taught me that have made a huge impact on my life that definitely apply to self-sufficiency, and I'm going to reserve those for the next show because I want to get into a little bit of problem-solving ideas here as well and survival decision-making. So we're going to put the philosophy on hold here, and I'm going to give you a... I didn't bring this up in the introduction, but I am going to give you a couple of things for you to start to think about whenever you do encounter a problem, some questions that you should ask yourself in the decision-making process. So let's shift gears here a little bit. I want to talk about the first three steps that my mentor that I learned whenever you're tackling a problem, large or small, it doesn't matter. And I call this survival decision making. And then we're going to cover the rest of them in the next show. So I'll talk more about some good, successful philosophies that I learned at a young age and also some more of this problem solving. But the first question I think you should ask yourself whenever you're faced with a problem, will this decision affect the way in which you or others will proceed in the future? All right, will this decision affect the way you're going to proceed in the future? Example, putting an emergency bag together, for example. All right, if you're thinking, okay, how am I going to do this, right? If part of your problem is trying to figure out how to put an emergency bag together and you're struggling with that issue, this is just an example. You got to ask yourself a question. How is this going to affect the purchases that I make? How is this going to affect the purchase priorities that I'm going to have for the next several weeks, the next few months? And it doesn't matter what decision you're faced. Ask yourself, how is this going to affect the future? And be specific about it. The next question I want you to ask yourself is, what are the consequences of letting this decision ride for a while? Keep in mind something, folks, that when we're faced with any kind of a problem, unless you're in an emergency where you've got to act within 2 or 3 seconds, but if it's a problem and there's not a disaster behind it, or even if you think you have time to make the decision, take your time. Ask yourself, what are the consequences if I let this decision ride for just a little while? You can gain sometimes some greater clarity if you just let it ride. You don't have to make a decision. You know, sometimes if you have a family member, a kid, a spouse, aunt, uncle, cousin, niece, nephew, whatever, all right, and they want you to help them make a decision with a problem that they have, here's some good words for you to live by. Here's some good things to say. Let me take that under advisement. Let me take that up under consideration and get back to you. Now, do get back to them. If you use that and you tell them you're going to get back to them, do so. But that helps you buy some time. Sometimes you get an answer. Sometimes your subconscious mind works on it. It works on it when you're sleeping. It works on it when you're just going about your everyday experiences. And you'll be surprised. Sometimes buying a little bit of time is going to help you come up with the answer. Take your time with those major decisions. If it's something like saving money, don't get hasty. You may save in the wrong places. Now, when I'm saying buy time, here's what you need to really be careful of. I'm not saying don't act. Please, folks, make sure that you do act. The consequences of not acting on a problem are far greater than even if you make a wrong decision. You know, a wrong decision is better most of the time than no decision. Because a wrong decision, you can learn from those mistakes, and you can correct them. You know, I love what President John Kennedy said. He said, a mistake doesn't become a problem until you fail to do something about it. So think about that. I have another name for this. I also call it the planned pause. Learn to put the planned pause in your life. And even when you're talking to somebody, you ever notice that when you pause, like I just did now, it makes them listen. When you ramble and ramble and ramble, sometimes they tune you off. It's the same thing with major decisions. Buy that little time, take that planned pause so that you can think, take some breaths, and let your subconscious mind work on either what you want to say or what it is that you have to decide to do. You may also want to think about this. Are there other things which could be done to either change or delay your decision-making process for right now? Are there band-aids that you can put on it for now until you figure out how to heal the wound completely? You know, do you need to fix that old clunker car one more time and spend that $800 repair bill instead of going out and buying a new car? Can you get another 6 months, 12 months, 18 months out of your old clunker before entering into that major purchase of a brand new car? Ask yourself, have all the relevant aspects of this decision-making process been fully assessed? And that's what taking it up under advisement, under consideration, means. Now, the third step in problem solving, my mentor taught me, and this is where I'll conclude and get into the rest of it later. Number three is there a modified yes? Sometimes there's a modified. Sometimes there's not the yes answer that maybe the person who's seeking your advice is looking for, or maybe there's not a clear-cut answer to the problem, but there's a modified answer. And the modified yes might not be so drastic. Modified means simply there's not an outright answer. Right? Maybe it's almost what they want. It satisfies both of you. I'm thinking about dealing with kids right now. All right? You know, kids make requests of us parents all the time. Is there some kind of a modified answer that'll help you and help them so that both of us wins? You know, I mean, example, if your family member wants a new computer, all right, I'm using that because that's as an example because my son wants a new computer right now. And I'm going through this decision-making process trying to figure out what the right answer is. Okay? I mean, you might not want to give them an outright no, but there could be a compromise. There could be a modified yes. You know, maybe I'm thinking maybe I can find a good deal on a refurbished one that I can save $400 or $500 on. You know? And that way he gets his computer. I get to save my money. We all win. All right? Computers are survival tools too, by the way, folks. Don't ever discount something like a computer. I am planning on doing a show on that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about doing some using some modern technology for survival, because I think a lot of folks in this self-sufficiency world completely discount modern technology. It's a shame, because there's lots of things that you can do with cell phones, with computers, with radios, lots of other technical equipment, even some of the stuff that I sell, which I'll tell you about in another show, that will work in a disaster. All right, but I got a little off track there. But is there a modified yes or no answer available to the problem or the decision that you're trying to make? That's number three. All right, so as I bring this show to a close, I just want to do a brief review. Don't forget about your overall philosophy. First of all, your goal settings, making them attainable and realistic and time-sensitive. And, you know, don't forget about the philosophy of this, of setting your sail on the proper course. And don't worry too much about whether people respond, especially if you're trying to get them involved in survivalism. You know, I kind of simplify this with this kind of an example. This is like herding cats. It is. It's like trying to herd cats. You ever try to make a cat do something? You know, sheep follow. Sheep are easy. Herding cats, it's tough. Some will, some won't. So what? Just concentrate on yourself. Remember the law of sowing and reaping, the story of the sower, and the three steps we just covered about problem solving. You know, who's it going to affect? How's it going to affect them? What's the consequences of letting it ride? And is there a modified yes or no that you can come up with? Hopefully you've been able to put some things to use from this show. So I'm going to go ahead and close with that. And let you know, this is Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of today's survival show, helping you harness the power of choice to live the life that you want and to strengthen your resolve. Our goal is to make survival simple, practical. And thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to, isn't he?